When Shanti and Sean lit the candle, they read John chapter 1, 1 to 5 and 14. John 1, 1 to 18 is called the prologue of John. John actually introduces Jesus Christ and then develops further in the body of the book. Sometimes we may think that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That was his beginning, as Sean mentioned. Several of us are thinking that way. Jesus's life began in Bethlehem, probably about 2,000 years back. According to John, that was not correct. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Word was with God, and the Word was God." Where before, when I just became a believer, when I read this one, I thought Word, I did not really understand what this Word is all about. Is it the Word that we speak every day? Probably not. John is using a concept called Logos or Word, which was prevalent in all philosophical systems. Say, for example, people who have come from India have a concept called Om. It's a sound. If you were to look at philosophical Indians, they will say Om existed before everything came into being. And you go to Platonic philosophy, they say Logos, or the Word, is the unifying phenomenon of this whole universe. We may think, how come we get morning? How come we get in the evening? How come we get the change of seasons? How come we get rain, summer, winter, and all those things? And they would say it is because of Logos, a principle that works and unifies. The same concept we see in Stoic philosophy that says Logos is responsible for the day-to-day happenings of this world. In the Old Testament, if you go, there are some books and some passages are called wisdom literature. They have something called wisdom. They say Logos is wisdom in Hebrew thinking or wisdom literature. They say Logos was responsible for bringing the world into existence. Although Logos was, wisdom for them in the Old Testament for the Jews, although wisdom was not created, it existed even before everything came into being. There is another concept in the Old Testament called Word or Dabar, Word of God. Word of God was active in history before the creation of the world and for the sustenance of the world. Even today, it is active. Word of God was responsible to make a covenant with Abraham, to make a covenant with Moses, to revive people, to guide people. So the concept Word or Logos was there in most of the philosophical system, and John is saying that is the Logos we are going to talk about today. He says that Logos was in the beginning, and that Logos was with God, and that Logos was God. In other words, he's saying Logos or Word was not created. It existed eternally. He's actually referring to Jesus, saying Jesus did not come into being in Bethlehem during the time of Herod or during the time of Emperor Augustus Caesar, but even before everything came into being, Jesus existed, and he is God himself. And no one created him, no one gave him a beginning, but he was there in the beginning. And verse 3 says, verse 4, through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. In other words, Logos was instrumental in creation of the whole universe. Jesus was instrumental in creating the whole world. The Proverbs chapter 8, 22 to 31, if you read, you see the same concept. It's Logos, the you know, the word that was active in the history, giving covenant to Abraham, covenant to Moses, revived the people. That word was instrumental in sustaining the whole world, that is Jesus himself. Although the name Jesus came into being only 2,000 years back, but much before that, he was instrumental in the creation of the whole universe. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In other words, this word was the originator of life. Jesus was the originator of life. When he said, let there be light, there was light. When he said, let there be plants and animals, there came to be, because there is life in him. And all the life that we see, all originated from him, because they did not just come into being, but he was the source of, and he is the source of, the whole life. And verse 5, we read that he was active in history. The light shines in darkness, but darkness has not understood it. As we go further, we see he has been active in history. Having said all these things, John comes to verse 14, and this is what he's saying. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Excuse me, I'll take this one. Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You know, we are not unfamiliar with this concept. He's saying the word that was invisible, but the word that was instrumental in the creation, sustenance of this whole universe, and who has been very active in the history, now became flesh. In other words, he incarnated. He became an avatar. Not the word, in the word avatar doesn't communicate everything, but he became 100% human being, that is Jesus. If you read verse 14, there are some words used that shows that Jesus' incarnation has brought God's presence close to us or humanity. Because of Jesus' incarnation, because Jesus became flesh, God's presence became so close to us and whole humanity. If you were to go back to Exodus, when Moses when Moses built the tabernacle and he prayed, and God's glory came upon the tabernacle, the word is Shekinah glory. Shekinah glory came and dwelt on the tabernacle. That is exactly the picture we get here. In other words, when Moses finished the tabernacle, God's presence came very close to the people of God, people of Israel. In the same way, when Jesus, who has been the creator, sustainer of the whole universe, when he became human, he brought God's presence close to humanity. In Matthew chapter 1, we see the message of angels. Angel is saying, Mary shall conceive a child and she will give birth, and you can call her Emmanuel. Meaning of Emmanuel is God with us. The transcendent God came into history. The one who was very far, we have really, you know, he, because of the sin, he removed himself far, wholly other. He became so close to us and he became Emmanuel to us. And that is what Jesus did when he became flesh. He brought God's presence closer to us. And verse 12 and 13, for context, I will read from 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, and the world did not recognize him, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, but nor of human decision or a husband, but born of God. Jesus' incarnation coming to this world facilitates a new relationship for us. You know, the whole humanity around the world, they somehow want to create a relationship with the supernatural. most of the people. They try their level best to create that relationship. Before I became a believer, I was going from place to place somehow, try to create a relationship with the transcendent God. You know, people around the world, they go and give big offerings, they cut animals, and they take pilgrimages. They try to reach God, not knowing that we will never be able to reach God. Only God has to reach us. That is what happened when Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. He facilitated a new relationship with God. That relationship is not just ordinary relationship, a relationship that exists between Father and Son. It is almost like my son is having that biological relationship. We, everyone, can make a relationship with God. We don't need to be just tremble before God because He is sovereign, transcendent, holy other, but we can just go and just say, Dad. Because that relationship was made possible because of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 17 is again the same passage. It's very interesting. He says from verse 16, from the fullness of His grace we have all received one blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus. Because of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was the creator, sustainer of the whole universe, when He came as a human being 2000 years back in Bethlehem, He offers inexhaustible grace. When we go around, around churches, or you know, when we mingle with our friends, we can realize people have been living with a lot of guilt. They say we are not able to live up to the standard of God. We fail. You know, we do things that don't please God. We often fall. But that is why Jesus Christ came to this world, not to condemn this world, but to bring a lot of grace. It says in verse 16, grace after grace, inexhaustible grace. So, you know, if we were to just look back, the one who created, sustained the whole world, God who is holy other, one of the three Godhead, He became flesh. What happened was He brought God's presence so close to us, He facilitated a new relationship for all of us. You know, anyone from any part of the world, we are able to make that relationship, and He has made grace available to us. That grace is not exhaustible. If we fall this much, His grace is this much. If we don't meet this much of a standard, and His grace is available this much. Not to mean that we can just go about and living however we want and so that we can inherit grace, but He gives us so much of grace that we can have continual relationship, not because of our actions, not because of our good deeds, but because of what God has done to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, having said all these things from John chapter 1, 1 to 18, what is the Christmas message we have today? You know, these are all information that should make us act. Only one principle I would like to leave with you is receive the giver and the gift. The title of the whole discussion today of the sermon is Jesus, the giver and the gift. So, when the creator became human being, when the sustainer became just like us, the one who is the originator and source of life became one among us, and He became a human being to offer something to us. And how can we respond? Or how can we respond to this giver and the gift is simply receive what He offers. You know, the principle is receive Jesus, the giver and the gift. This is something we often hear. Some of us will say, how can I receive Him? You know, how can I receive Him? Several people ask this question. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came and asked, how can I make a relationship with God? How can I be born again? Should I go back to my mother's womb, which is not possible? Probably his mother was not alive, or she was really old, and he was a big man, bigger than his mom. And Jesus says, everyone has to be born from above. And he is again asking, how is it possible? He says, everyone has to be born of water and fire. You know, if we really go through all the passage, and if we really have to give a principle, it is everyone has to be born from above. In other words, we can ask God to come into our lives, and we can say, Lord, you be my Lord and Savior. I believe what you have offered in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want that. In all these days, I know that in my mind. Sometimes I did not believe because of my rationality. Sometimes I believed, but I did not ask that. But this Christmas, we can really celebrate. We can say, Lord, I need what you have offered through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there begins a new relationship. There begins, there a real Christmas. I have three suggestions here. When we make or when we receive Jesus, the giver and the gift, first of all, we get God's presence according to verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God will become so close to us when we go out, when we come in, when we go to bed, when we go to work. His presence will be available to us all the time. A lot of time, we compartmentalize our life. We say, God, you be there in some place. I will come and see you sometime whenever I want. But I will just go about my life, because this is my life. But if you receive the giver and the gift, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, that changes, that dynamic changes. He becomes very, very close to us. He provides to us God's presence in our life. The second thing, God gives us as a relationship. This is for more for people who have not made a relationship. Verse 12 and 13. You know, we will develop a new relationship with God, and we will be able to call God our Father. If there is anyone who has not made that relationship, today will be a very good day for us to make that relationship. Say, Lord, I believe what you have offered. I believe that Jesus Christ came to this world and he was born in Bethlehem, but he existed even before that. He created, sustained, and he is the source of our life, but he definitely became a human being and he died on the cross for me, and I want that. That time, a new relationship is established. If you would like to know more about this one, if there is anyone here who has not made that relationship, you can talk to me or any one of us at the end. We will be able to help you. The third one is for all of us, is grace. This Christmas season, what we need to experience a lot is God's grace. Some of us may be carrying a burden. I'm not praying sufficiently enough. Or I'm not thinking about God a lot. Or I'm not able to relate to my family and friends that much. Or we may be thinking, I have a problem, sin, that I'm not able to really go close to the Lord. We are carrying a guilt in us. Verse 16 says, Jesus Christ has brought grace upon grace, or grace after grace. And our sin becomes small when it compares to God's grace. That doesn't mean that we can continue in our sin. God will guide us how to get rid of our sins, our weaknesses. But the key is, God's grace is exhaustively abundantly available to all of us. That is the beginning of our Christmas. We can have God's presence, we can have God's relationship, and we can have God's grace in abundance. That is, inexhaustible grace we can always enjoy in our life.